It is often a matter of exposure to these things, and especially exposure to the right things, so that Aristotle is deeply alert to the fact that one does need the experience of these things, and the experience in appropriate context and appropriate situations, precisely where one will be able to either get a taste for drinking at home, or a taste for variations in music, or perhaps even a taste for something like travel, and not be afraid of the new experiences that a new vista can provide. And these cultivation of the right sort of pleasures can involve a tremendous deepening of virtue. Again, I see this in a fascinating way, I think, with students. Frequently, when a young person comes to college, they have been the center of great attention at home, and now when you get to college, one finds oneself swimming in a vast sea of other people, and one is just a number, or one is just a relatively small individual on the totem pole. And yet, that kind of centering on self that they have been experiencing often, it needs to be brought out into a cultivation of interest in others. Not only the notion of responsibility in the place where they are living, in their dormitory, but also a concern for the fact that their projects can't be simply their own projects. It can't be just their own schoolwork or just their own recreation, but rather that there's a need, for instance, to learn how to give appropriate service. The sort of virtues that we expect of people when living in a community as adults, where they participate on school boards or where they're willing to lend a hand to common projects beyond what is minimally required, say, by taxation or military service, but where there's some genuine willingness to go out and to serve. For some people, that too is an acquired taste, and yet it's always a happy experience, to my way of thinking about the matter, when looking at students, and some are given the opportunity for involvement in social service during their college years, and they learn to go out and do some tutoring, or perhaps they'll go and work in a poorer part of the country than the one from which they might have come. And some of them get so fascinated by it that they will take and choose to spend a year or two of such service after the conclusion of their college, before going on to professional school or on to work. They have come to see the pleasure in this. That is, they have come to find a tremendous satisfaction that comes with getting out of themselves and learning to recognize what a pleasant thing it is to see themselves and to be able to actually be of use in some kind of service of another. But that was an acquired taste for them, and it was a kind of pleasure which they did not suspect when still very much wrapped up in their own little world. It is that sense of the need for the cultivation of different sorts of experience so that people can acquire some of the pleasure in the right things and become habituated to them that Aristotle likes to emphasize. He rather strongly envisions the right kind of experiences with pleasure as extremely important to the human moral maturation process. And in this respect, I think he stands in considerable contrast with some of those ancient theories as well as with some modern theories of ethics. Among the modern viewpoints, one set of novels that I think has a very Aristotelian cast, and particularly on this question of pleasure and the right role of pleasure, we find the novels of Jane Austen. Jane Austen, again, an acquired taste for some people, but it's a sort of novel in which you have a tremendous importance given to the habituation within families to the right sort of virtues. Now, admittedly, Jane Austen is doing this for a certain particular English culture, but you see the Aristotelian point being made about how much habituation towards something can cultivate the right pleasures, whereas the failure to gain a certain experience in the matter is likely to leave a person seriously disadvantaged. If one looks further back in history, one thinks in particular of someone like Dante. In the course of Dante's wonderful adventures going through hell and then purgatory and eventually up into heaven, those first two parts, his adventures in the Inferno and adventures in Purgatorio, are not merely instances where he's watching what's going on, seeing, for instance, the various torturous punishments that are given to souls in hell or the therapeutic remedies that people are undergoing in purgatory. But he himself is made to experience them. And Virgil, Dante's guide, is the most Aristotelian possible kind of guide. This is a most Aristotelian sort of virtue. In the mouth of Virgil, throughout the Divine Comedy, the poet Dante frequently puts lines from Aristotle's Ethics and from Aristotle's medieval successor, Thomas Aquinas, talking about the role in which pleasure should have and the role in which pleasure should not have.